If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 to 15 as we finish up our series, Here Comes the Sun. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. John writes, Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And let's pray. Lord, what awesome, scary words. I pray, Lord, today as we look at the great white throne judgment that you just convince us more than ever before where we stand with you and on what side we're going to be standing on that judgment day. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last December the 31st, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who lied under oath to Congress, killed millions of people with the clot shot, and helped turn America over to the New World Order, officially retired after 50 years on the job as the director of the National Institute of Health. But the funny thing is, Dr. Fauci still has an office there. He's still on the board of the NIH, still on the board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, still in cahoots with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Folks, Dr. Fauci hasn't officially retired from diddly squat. And instead of being arrested and tried for crimes against humanity, he's still working for the Great Reset and getting $500,000 a year government pension to boot. One of the biggest things that fries our bacon these days, when in the world are evil people ever going to be held accountable for the evil things that they do? Well, I'll tell you when. On Judgment Day, when everybody who has ever lived or died is going to stand before God and be held accountable for everything that they do. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're finishing a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Here Comes the Sun, looking at all the major events and God's plans for the last days leading up to the second coming of Christ. Last time we looked at the millennial kingdom. And today we finish this series by looking at the last thing on the timeline, the very last thing of all, and that's the great white throne judgment. And to see that, we turn today to Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 to 15. In this part of Revelation chapter 20, the millennial kingdom has come to an end. And in our text today, everybody who has ever lived or died is standing before the throne to give an account. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to understand the great white throne judgment. We better make sure more than ever before we're ready to stand before that throne ourselves. Our text this morning, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, tells us three things that we need to understand about the great white throne judgment of God. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about the great white throne judgment is that the judge is just and fair. And that is exactly what John is telling us here in verse 11. I saw a great white throne, great because it's awesome, white because it's holy and just, and a throne because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And notice the person on that throne isn't even identified because everybody already knows who it is. It's not Judge Judy or Joe Brown or Rachel Juarez from Hot Bench. It's Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead, Acts chapter 10, verse 42. And because Jesus just speaks the word and instantaneously vaporizes the entire universe, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, earth and sky fled from his presence and cleared the courtroom. People, here comes the judge. And the Bible tells us this judge is all about justice. Just and upright is he, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. And Jesus will make sure that in all cases, justice is served, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. Now remember, there's a couple of other judgments that happen before this one. Right now, when everybody dies, they're immediately judged by being sent directly to either heaven or hell, depending on whether or not they trusted Christ for salvation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, right after the rapture in heaven, all of us Christians are going to have our works judged by Jesus to determine how many stars we're going to get in our crown, the Bema Seat judgment. But here, right after the millennium. There's the great transfer event before the final transfer to heaven and hell. The scariest, most freakiest thing in the history of all time, space, and dimension. When every single person who has ever lived or died gets a notice to appear. All unbelievers are going to be brought out of hell temporarily. All believers are going to be brought out of heaven temporarily. So everybody's eternal sentences will be officially recognized and confirmed by all people. And why? So once and for all eternity, everybody will know that God's word is true and that the gospel does save. And more than anything else, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, whether they want to do it or not. Philippians chapter 2 verses 10 and 11. So you can bow your knee to Him now because you want to. Or you will bow your knee to Him then because you have to. What's your choice? See, the universe is going to come to an end, but you won't. And if you've cussed Jesus Christ, if you slammed Him, if you've dissed Him in any way, shape, or form, come a time, you will stand before the Lord and you will answer for it. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. God has appointed a day when He will judge the world, and God always, always, always keeps His appointments. Amen. He shall come to judge the living and the dead. Judgment day is coming. But sadly enough, the only thing most people know about Judgment Day is the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Terminator. Pop singer Gloria Estefan said this, "Kindness and justice that we send out into the universe always come spinning back to us like on a big wheel in the form of more kindness and justice." Really? And how's that supposed to work? There's like this big wheel of fortune out there in the sky, and Vanna White's making sure that everything always turns out fair and square. No! There's a God who judges who does that. People slam Judgment Day because they flat out hate God. Bill Maher said this, "I don't know what happens after you die, and I don't care. So F God and F Judgment Day too. No God ever helped me do anything at all, so He doesn't have the right to judge me at all. Want to bet?" Last October the 25th, Las Vegas, Nevada, 18-year-old Jameer Keyes and 16-year-old Ayala Zamir purposely killed a California police chief with an intentional hit and run. And during their first court appearance, they sat there laughing about it and even flipped off the guy's family. People don't believe in Judgment Day because there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3 verse 18. No concept that they're going to stand before God one day and answer for everything that they do. Amen. But Judgment Day is coming. And holy Perry Mason, people, do we ever need it? J.B. Pritzker, still governor of Illinois. Joe Biden hasn't been impeached yet. U.S. soldiers are now being charged for all the equipment and weapons that they were told by Joe Biden to leave behind in Afghanistan like it was their fault. Last September, the FDA officially approved hydroxychloroquine as a treatment for COVID. Are you kidding me? They spent 3 years murdering people by slamming hydroxychloroquine so they could push the clot shot. My God, people, you talk about evil. The original Hennepin County, Minnesota autopsy showed that George Floyd died of a heart attack from drug overdose, not from police officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on his neck. But in spite of that, officer Derek Chauvin is now serving life in prison for murdering the guy and almost got shanked to death last week in prison. Amen. The blood of 67 million aborted babies still cries out to God from the ground. How long, oh Lord? My God, people, where's the justice? It's coming. Because everybody's going to stand before Judge Jesus. Amen. And in case anybody here thinks that Jesus is just this mean old Cruella de Vil hanging judge, never forget what it is that Jesus Christ did for us. Last October the 7th in Israel, one of the kibbutzes that Hamas attacked was called Kfar Azzah. And two of the people they killed there were parents, Roy and Smadar Eden. Parents of those three kids, including little 4-year-old Abigail. Now, the two older siblings heard hid in the closet during the attack. But when the terrorists started shooting, Dad reached out and put his arms around little Abigail and hugged her and shielded her from all the bullets. So even though she was covered with her father's blood, she wasn't hurt at all. But because she was covered with her father's blood, the terrorists thought she was already dead. So they didn't shoot her at all. She lived because her father died and shed his blood for her. People, listen to me. Every single one of us as human beings are guilty before God and deserve nothing but hell. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ loved us so much in spite of our sin. He went to the cross and hugged us and shielded us from all the bullets and the attacks of the enemy and took them himself. So if you trust Jesus Christ for salvation, we live because Jesus died and shed his blood for us. So just remember, this Jesus who's going to judge us is the exact same Jesus who died and rose again to save us from the judgment to start with. Do we understand? Do we understand what we need to do to get through that judgment on judgment day? Because of the way I do my job, I am always in a hurry everywhere I go. So if you're riding with me, get in, sit down, shut up and hang on because I'm going to get there. But because of that, over the years, I've been stopped by way too many policemen who just do not understand my job is way too important to worry about speed limits. Well, the very first ticket I got was up in Aurora trying to visit a church member, Mercy Center Hospital, going 47 and a 35. Cop gave me the ticket, had to surrender my driver's license and go to court. And everybody told me, you don't want that violation on your permanent record, just go to court, admit that you're guilty, and ask for court supervision. So that's exactly what I tried to do. But people, you talk about intimidating. Went to traffic court in Aurora that day. The place was absolutely packed to the gills. Bailiff climbed in and started screaming at us. We're all supposed to show respect when the judge came in. Supposed to stand up, take off our hats, and no talking. So when the judge came in, we all stood up and nobody said a peep. And the judge was a really big guy with a really loud voice. And we wasn't taking any mess. And before he started, he said, if you are a licensed driver in the state of Illinois, I have your permanent driving record right here on my computer. So if you were here requesting court supervision, and I ask you if you've had a moving violation or you were given court supervision in the last 12 months, and you tell me no, and your record says you have, you will be arrested and transported directly to the Kane County lockup and be held for contempt of court. Is that understood? People, the man frightened me. You talk about intimidating. And then he called my name, Kevin Garner, approached the bench. And you talk about scary, standing before that judge all by yourself, knowing that you're guilty. And he said, going 47 and a 35, how do you plead? And I was kind of shaken. I said, I'm guilty, but I'm requesting court supervision. He said, you had a moving violation of court supervision previous 12 months. I said, no, sir. He said, court supervision granted, pay the clerk. And I was out of there. And after 90 days in a traffic school, that violation was taken off my permanent record. And you know why? Because I was willing to plead guilty and throw myself on the mercy of the court. People, listen to me. Every single one of us, one of these days, is going to stand before God in judgment. With all kinds of violations and sins on our permanent record that should put us in hell forever and a day. But the good news is, by the grace and mercy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have all those violations and sins taken off of our permanent record before we even have to go to court, before judgment day even comes, by confessing those sins to God and putting our faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take our sins away and asking Jesus Christ to come into our heart and be our Savior. What do we need to do to deal with that judgment that we're going to face on judgment day? We plead guilty and throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. And why will that work? Because Isaiah chapter 33 verse 20, this Jesus who's going to judge us is also the Jesus who died and rose again to save us. Amen. The first thing we need to understand about the great white throne judgment, the judge is going to be just and fair. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about the great white throne judgment. Not only is the judge going to be just and fair, but the judging process is going to be just and fair. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 12 to 14. Notice the bare bones description. All the one syllable words. No extra details. Hardly any adjectives. Nothing to distract you from the fact that it's just you and the person on that throne. No dream team of lawyers representing you. No lawyer at all. No jury because it's a bench trial. No phone. No lifeline. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide, baby. Because there's nowhere to run to. And there's nothing to hide behind. It's all gone. Just the judge and the judged. Verse 14 says death will be destroyed. So you can't commit suicide and die to get out of this. Serious as a heart attack. Your eternity hanging in the balance. And the judge says, court is in session. The judging process is going to be fair and just because everybody who is somebody and everybody else who is nobody is going to be there. Verse 12, I saw the dead standing before the throne, the small and the great. Everybody. Everybody. Verse 14 says the sea gave up its dead because the Jews believed back in those days that if you got died at sea and you were not buried in a marked grave, you would never be resurrected. They were wrong. I have all kinds of people tell me, well, Kevin, when I die, I'll just get cremated. That'll keep me from having to show up there. No, it won't. Because God knows where is every speck of human dust. I don't care how you die. I don't care what they do with your body. God will reunite every single person with every single one of their bodies, and you will be there. Amen. Everybody will be there. All colors, all races, from all times, and all places. The great will be there, like Billy Graham and Abraham Lincoln and the Apostle Paul. And the others will be there, like Julius Caesar and Gandhi and Sacagawea and Muhammad Ali and Taylor Swift and Oliver Boy Toys. The guilty will be there, like Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers who crucified Christ. Amen. And Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, who died shaking his fist at God. Chinese President Xi will be there, who bulldozes Christian churches and says the Chinese Communist Party is God. He'll be there. Hillary Clinton, who instigated the whole Russian collusion hoax. All the pedophiles on Jeffrey Epstein's flight list. Justin Timberlake, who knocked up Britney Spears and forced her to get an abortion back in 2002. He will be there. Britney will be there too. Amen. And this isn't just adults only. Because there ain't going to be any children's shirts going on during this. All the kids will be there too. So no merch being sold like my mom and dad went to the Great White Throne Judgment and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Everybody will be there. Amen. Everybody who hurt you. Everybody who ever picked on you. People who troll you on Instagram and tell you to go kill yourself. Your mom's boyfriend who sexually molested you that you still have nightmares about. Your old man who would beat you till you couldn't walk and then laugh about it and make you feel like dirt. They will all be there because everybody is going to get exactly what it is that they've got coming to them. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. The good and the bad and the ugly will be there. You will be there. And I'll be there too because being a preacher doesn't give me a pass. No religious exemptions, no conscientious objectors, nobody calling in sick, nobody taking a mental health day. Nobody will be cited for failure to appear. No wonder it's standing room only. Everybody who has ever lived south of anywhere else will be there. Amen. The judging process will be fair. The judging process will be fair because every single person is going to be judged by exactly the same thing. And books were opened. And in those books, God has recorded every single thing that every single person has ever done. And notice verses 12 and 13, it tells you twice so you don't miss it. Everybody will be judged according to what they have done. So your likes and follows on Instagram ain't going to mean diddly squat that day. Your cup size, your flat stomach, your 401k. All the degrees behind your name, the kind of car you drive, the kind of house you live in. It won't impress God at all. None of those things are going to mean diddly squat on judgment day. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, everybody will be judged on every careless word that they utter. Uh-oh. Romans chapter 2, verse 16, he will judge the secret things, the motives, the thoughts, the intentions, the attitudes of our hearts. He will judge the secret sins. Where you go on your phone, what you do when you're with your friends and your parents aren't around, all those things you do when you're home all by yourself that you don't think anybody is ever going to know about, God knows about them. Amen. All the thoughts you have when you're checking out the guys, when you're looking at the girls in yoga pants, the lust, the hate, the anger, the jealousy, the pettiness, the grudges that we hold on to and won't let go of. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything will be laid bare before the face of Him to whom we must give an account. Everything. Everything. I hear people tell me all kinds of trouble. When I stand before God, I'm going to ask Him this. When I stand before God, I'm going to ask Him that. When I stand before God, I'm going to tell Him blah, blah, blah. You stand before God on Judgment Day, you ain't going to tell Him nothing. Amen. The Bible says He's got eyes like blazing fire and a voice that sounds like Niagara Falls. You honestly think you're going to mouth off to somebody who sounds like that? Judgment Day, you're not going to question God. He's going to question you. Because notice here, He's the only one doing any talking. Which is why what's really going on here in Judgment Day is not a trial. Because notice, there's no testimony, there's no cross-examination of witnesses. Because God has already determined what your verdict is going to be. Which means Judgment Day, it's too late to get saved. You've got to get saved before Judgment Day happens. What's going on here? God just pronounced His sentence on every single one of us. How do we know that? Everybody is standing here. In a courtroom, what does a judge do when a defendant is sentenced? They ask him to stand. Now, if we're all going to be judged by everything that we've ever said or done or thought, if we're going to be judged by everything that's written in that book, every single one of us is as hopeless as a fat kid in dodgeball. We're all condemned for hell forever and ever and ever. But here's the good news. There's not just one book. Verse 12, there's two books. There's another book, the book of life, where God has written the names of everybody who trusts Jesus Christ for salvation, the names of everybody who is saved. We're condemned and sent to hell by what's written in the first book. But we're saved and not thrown into hell by what's written in the second book. You trust Jesus Christ for salvation immediately. God writes your name in that second book. And God immediately takes bleach bit to your hard drive and blots out all your sins so that they're totally erased and gone. So on Judgment Day, when God opens up that first book to your page that lists all your sin, all the pages behind your name are totally blank. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's judgment is fair. Everybody gets judged. Everybody gets condemned, but people can be saved by exactly the same thing. Simple faith in what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. Amen. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. God's judgment is fair and just. And I got to remember that too. A couple years ago on Mother's Day, Sue and I are on Interstate 80 headed for Starved Rock to take the dog for a walk. And just east of the Utica exit, there were two Illinois State Police cars parked on the far right-hand shoulder. And I know what the law is. Emergency vehicles on the far right-hand shoulder, you got to get over in the far left-hand lane. If you can't get over in the far left-hand lane, you're supposed to slow way down as you drive past those vehicles. But I couldn't get over in the far left-hand lane that day because there was a white pickup truck that was passing me at the time. But I did slow way down when I drove past those police cars. But in spite of that, sure enough, one of them lit me up and pulled me over. Officer Friendly comes up to my car and he said, sir, the law is, I know what the law is. Emergency vehicles on the far right-hand shoulder, you got to get over in the left-hand lane. I said, I couldn't get over in the left-hand lane because I had a white pickup truck passing me. You know what the cop said? Well, I saw that white truck. I still thought you could have gotten over. And he gave me a ticket. $250. $250 for failure to yield to an emergency vehicle. You talk about honked off because I don't lie. And I was so mad, I called a lawyer the next day. You know what he told me? He said, our office has been getting calls all day long from people just like you who got the exact same ticket from the exact same police officers at the exact same exit because they were doing a sting that day. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do about it? He said, there's nothing you can do about it because the state police always show up for court, and because they got the hat and the badge, they always win. I said, but I know what the law is. I couldn't get over in the left-hand lane, but I did slow down when I drove by him. He said, it doesn't matter. They'll just show up to court and say that you didn't slow down enough. I said, well, then what am I supposed to do about it? He said, just go to court, take your lump, say you're guilty, pay the fine and suck it up. Because if you try to fight it, they'll just up the fine and even charge you court costs. And if you ask for a trial, you will lose. They'll take your license away from you and they'll really rack you because the judge is in cahoots with the cops. How do you like that? You talk about ticked off. I got a $250 traffic ticket that I did not deserve and I got nobody to appeal to. So 3 weeks later, I go to court. There are so many people in that courtroom who got the exact same tickets from the exact same cops that day. They had to move us to a bigger room. One guy lived off of that exit. He didn't get over in the far left-hand lane. He had to take that exit to get home. They still gave him a ticket. One woman stood before the judge and asked for a trial. They probably gave her 25 to life. And the judge there that day, I won't tell you what his name was, he never even looked at us. No expression on his face. Didn't care about individual people, individual circumstances, individual cases. Just processed us like beef. And you know why? Because he'd done it 1,000 times before. Because the system was rigged and the fix was in. And even worse, after they got done with us, they frog marched us to the clerk's office. And because I didn't have a checkbook, I had to pay my fine with a credit card. They even charged me $10 more to process the payment. $260 for a ticket that I did not deserve. Now, I've got all the respect in the whole wide world for police officers, but not that one. Because what he did to me wasn't right. And it still stinks to this day. But people, listen to me. The good news is, judgment day, the fix will not be in. Every mountain will be brought low. Every crooked thing will be made straight. Everybody who's hurt you will be exposed. Your innocence will be exonerated. And for those of us who are trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior, every single one of our sins will be forgiven and forgotten by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, judgment day will not be rigged. The judging process will be just and fair. Amen. Everybody's going to be judged. Everybody's going to be judged according to exactly the same thing. And those of us who are trusting in Christ are going to go to heaven forever and ever and ever. The second thing we need to understand about the great white throne judgment, the judging process will be just and fair. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about the great white throne judgment. The judge will be just and fair. The judging process will be just and fair. And third, the judgment will be just and fair. Even the judgment that unbelievers get here in verse 15. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Fair because God warns people over and over again about hell. But they ignore it and blow it off until they get there and get the shock of their lives. Because guess what? There really is a God. And all roads don't lead to heaven. And you really weren't born that way. And you don't go to hell to party with your friends because you're too busy burning and screaming. And remembering for all eternity, every opportunity, every chance you had to get saved, but you wouldn't do it. And I know somebody's hearing this morning say, Kevin, hell? That's never going to happen. Folks, all the other events in God's timeline for the last days, they're going to happen. In fact, we see them happening now. Last September, the false prophet, Pope Francis said this. We need a paradigm shift in Christian theology in a dialogue with different religions and cultures so we can repurpose Christianity for different people in different cultures and mindsets for the 21st century. Paving the way for the one world religion of the Antichrist. The great falling away of the faith, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. Just exactly like the Bible says is going to happen in the Laodicean church age. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, Jesus said in the last days, evil will increase. Hasbro Toy Company just came out with an Ouija board, which is programmed by demon spirits, that is powered by artificial intelligence, which is also controlled by demon spirits. You talk about a match made in hell. And here's the advertisement. Here's what the advertisement says about it. You have questions? The spirit world has answers. Summon the spirits by your phone or your laptop. If you dare. You don't think we're living in the last days with evil increasing just exactly like the Bible says? The Bible says in the last days the whole wide world will gang up against Israel. And that's exactly what's happened. Look at the Jew hate. That's going on all over the planet. See the new Hitler youth protesting against Israel at the DNC in New York City just as 2 weeks ago? See the idiots trying to defend Hamas at the city council meeting just this past Tuesday night, Oakland, California? Listen to what they say.
There's not been beheadings of babies and rapings. Israel murdered their own people on October 7th.
Calling Hamas a terrorist organization is ridiculous, racist, and plays into genocidal propaganda that is flooding our media and that we should be doing everything possible to combat.
I support the right of Palestinians to resist occupation, including through Hamas, the armed wing of the unified Palestinian resistance.
As an Arab, asking with this context to condemn Hamas is very anti-Arab racist.
People, they are defending demonic terrorists who put little babies in ovens and cooked them alive. You talk about end times deception. Just exactly like the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. In the last days, they will call good evil and evil good. Tell me it's not going to happen. Elon Musk now owns half the satellites that are circling our planet. His company, Starlink, controls all the communication systems for over half the countries in the world today. And because of that, world leaders bow to him and fall at his feet. He wants his company X to run the entire economy of the entire world, and he's well on the way to making that happen. And he is so powerful. Last week when he went to Israel, people all over the planet started calling on him to be specially appointed to the United Nations Security Council. And Elon Musk also is in love with the letter X. The sign of the Antichrist, dresses up in Baphomet costumes for Halloween. And his first wife was an actual practicing witch. You don't think the world's getting ready for the Great Tribulation? You don't think Elon Musk is a type of the Antichrist, a preview of coming attractions? All the other events on God's timeline for the last days are going to happen. You can bet the farm hell is going to happen too. But the problem is, there's all kinds of people today that don't think hell is real, including way too many people who call themselves Christians. I got this piece of fan mail a couple of years ago. Pastor Garner, you need to stop preaching about hell like you do because people are too sensitive today to believe what the Bible says about it. Maybe if you made hell sound like rehab, that somehow purifies people and makes them better. And the God I believe in would never send anybody to hell like you describe it. The very idea that God would take a person who was bad during his lifetime for maybe 50 or 60 years and condemn him to billions of years of torment is extremely cruel, and to preach that is just hateful. So stop preaching that old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone stuff, or better yet, stop preaching your hate altogether. And do you know why people say things like that? Because they have absolutely no clue how bad sin really is, absolutely no clue how holy God really is. See, you blow off God, God ain't just going to give you no time out. He's old school. So Christians, stop trying to air condition hell with ceiling fans and iced coffee and start warning people about the lake of fire. Amen. Back when I was 5 years old, our mailbox was down a really long lane on the other side of the road that ran past our farm. And me and my mom would walk down there every single day to get the mail. And one day we went down there, there was a rabbit on the road that got hit by a car, run over 20, 30 times, gut scorched all over the place, stinking to high heaven. My mom looked at me, pointed to that rabbit and said, "That's what happens to little boys that don't look both ways when they cross the road." Boy, did that ever make an impression on me. And believe you me, I never forgot it. And to this day, 55 years later, I still look both ways when I cross the street. Now, did my mom tell me that because she hated me? No. She loved me too much not to tell me that. She told me that because she did not want that to happen to me. Christians, exactly the same reason why we need to be telling people about hell. So on Judgment Day, we will not have their blood in our hands. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 19. Got this note just a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Garner, the Bible is not about telling people how to live their lives. The Bible is really about making people feel loved and included. No, the Bible is not about making people feel loved and included. The Bible is about getting people ready to stand before God on Judgment Day so that they will make a decision for Jesus Christ so that they will go to heaven instead of going to hell. 39 years ago, July 21st, 1984, I made a decision for Jesus Christ. And because of that, I am not going to hell. I've been redeemed. What a story to tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free. All is well. I am not going to hell. Hell? No. I won't go. And how about you? You say, well, Kevin, hell isn't fair. Oh, it's totally fair. Because every single one of us deserves to go there. What isn't fair is that anybody goes to heaven, because none of us deserves to go there. You reject the payment that Jesus Christ made on the cross for your sin to bring you to God. You will have to pay for your own sin, separated from God, in a place called hell. And because we human beings can never really pay off our own sin, you will be paying for that sin forever in that place called hell. It's totally fair. You didn't want anything to do with God in this life. God's not going to have anything to do with you in the life to come. It's totally fair. There's unbelievers listening to the sermon right now. You say, Kevin, I don't believe in hell. That's okay. You will. Eventually. Maybe even sooner than you think. Both drivers instantly killed. On impact. Unbelievers, listen to me. You die before receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be lost. You say, Kevin, are you trying to scare me? I do not have enough creativity in my entire body to even begin to describe how horrible and terrifying hell is going to be. Amen. You say, but Kevin, I'm not an evil person. The vast majority of people in hell are not evil people. They're ordinary people. Even good people who just would not and did not pray to receive Christ. Amen. You're listening to this sermon right now. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to tell you flat out, you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. And I say that with tears. I beg you not to go there. God doesn't want you to go to hell. Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go there. Your friends and family members don't want you to go there. The people in hell right now don't want you to go there, because you go to hell, you never get out. Because God's verdict is forever. And His judgment is final. There's no appeal to a higher court, because Jesus is the highest, most supremest court there is. And He'll never change His mind. And for a billion, trillion eternities, you will be tortured by the fact you didn't have to go there. And I know there's people here in this sermon right now, you say, Kevin, why in the world do you talk about this so much? Why in the world do you always talk about heaven and hell? That's easy. Because I got something inside of me, a calling from God to try to get people ready to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day. Because I believe with all of my heart, we are living in the last days and Jesus is coming and time is short and people ain't ready by a country mile. I know the vast majority of pastors in America never preach out of the book of Revelation anymore, ever. They won't touch the end times with a 10-foot pole. But I preach about them because we're in them right now, up to our eyeballs. And soon and very soon, we're going to be standing before God on Judgment Day. And heaven and hell is going to be hanging in the balance. And I know with all my heart, the only thing that can save anybody from it, the only thing that can save us is Jesus Christ and the gospel. I do what I do because I can't forget what Jesus Christ did for me. Back in the 1400s in France, people who were found guilty of committing a capital crime and sentenced to die were put in a wagon called the death cart, about a mile away from where they would be executed by the guillotine. And throngs of people would line both sides of the road to watch that cart pass by. And that road to the execution site was called the Miracle Mile. Because at any point along that way, some innocent person from that crowd could step out, go up to that wagon, and take their place. So the guilty person would get out and go free. The innocent person would get in and go die for them. You see where this is going? Well, July 21st, 1984, Kevin Garner was in that death cart. On my way to die and on my way to hell. Can anybody else relate? But then somewhere along the road, somebody walked up to that cart and said, stop. And opened the door. And said, Kevin, you can get out. Let me help you with that death penalty. Let me get you off that road to your execution in hell. And I noticed he had nail prints in his hands and scars on his back. And he got in and he shut the door and he took my place. Even though he had never sinned and wasn't guilty of anything. And he said, Kevin, now you go live your life for me. And for the last 39 years, that's exactly what I've tried to do. He did that for me, for me. And 39 years later, I've never forgotten it. I can't forget that. I've got to die to forget that. Amen. He didn't just do that for me. He did it for everybody. And I don't want to lose a one of them. Not a one of them. You know what gives preachers like me nightmares? The ones that got away. Back in 1997, back at the old church, I met a 12-year-old boy named Damian Ramey. Now, me and Rick and Rita Bebar, Christy Bebar, probably the only ones in this room that even remember who that kid was. Had a really rough life. The Bebar kids knew him from school in Serena. Rick and Rita knew what a hard time he had, so they did everything they could to reach out to that kid. Even brought him to church one Sunday morning back at the old church, 1997, when his parents let him come. And they told me what he was going through when he was growing up. I had him in confirmation class. And because of that, during that class, I tried extra special to talk about Jesus and how God can help you out of bad situations. And most importantly, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He can take you to heaven someday. I tried. And I pressed it. Because I didn't know if his parents would ever let him come back to church again. And they didn't. And after that day, I never saw that kid again. Or never heard anything about him until March 24th, 2001, when I read that 16-year-old Damian Ramey had been shot multiple times by two members of the Insane Deuces street gang. 4:20 a.m., 156th and Poindexter in Chicago, pronounced DOA at a local hospital. And there were no drugs in his system. But Damian Ramey had a tattoo of praying hands over top of a heart, which in drug culture means he had killed a person. And those gangbangers had specifically shot him through that tattoo. That happened 22 and a half years ago. And it haunts me to this day. Did I do enough? Did I say enough? If he never heard another gospel presentation, did I explain the gospel clearly enough? My God, I only had a couple of minutes. Was his last conscious thought something that he heard me say in that class? Was there a deathbed confession? Right before he died, maybe he prayed to receive Christ on Judgment Day. Is his name going to be written in that book? It haunts me because, see, I lost one once. And I don't ever want to lose another one. And I don't want to lose any of you either. You stand before God on Judgment Day, there's only two places you're going to be able to go. That's either heaven or hell. Amen. Previous picture. And there's only two places that you can go. Heaven or hell. There's only two kinds of people. It's going to be the saved and the lost. Saved people are going to be the line on the right. The lost people are going to be the line on the left. There's not going to be a third group of people or a third line for everybody who just wants to opt out and go play pickleball. There's only two. And to the people on the right, God's going to say, well done. Good and faithful servant. Enter into heaven and the joy of the Lord. And the people on the left, Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you cursed into everlasting darkness and hell, because I never knew you. My God, I want to be on that line that goes to the right. And I want you to be in that line too. But the only way that's going to happen, the only way you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, is if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the question is this morning, are you trusting Christ for salvation or not? Is your name going to be written in that book or not? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Because no time at all, no time at all. Court is in session. the Honorable Judge Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, presiding. Will the defendant please rise and approach the bench? And when Jesus calls your name on Judgment Day, you're going to see a big old screen just like that one. And words at the top are going to say, "This is your life." And on that screen are going to be broadcast in chronological order every single thing you have ever done, everything you've ever done or said or thought, your entire life in front of everybody, so everybody can see it. All the bad words you said, the lies that you told, the websites you looked at you shouldn't have, the porn that you took in, all the things you did to hurt people, all the drinking and the partying and the getting high, those years you spent shacked up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Amen. All the things you did that made your parents' life a living hell, the abuse that you gave to your kids. And it's going to be so bad, you'll feel so humiliated. You will feel like crawling in a hole. But see, on Judgment Day, there ain't going to be any hole to crawl in. Kevin Garner, this is your life. And it's going to be so bad, we're going to be guilty before God and deserving nothing but hell. But here's the good news. Today, right now, before Judgment Day, if you confess your sins to God and put them all under the blood and trust Jesus Christ for salvation, God will hit that big old delete button and every single one of those sins will be completely erased and gone. So on Judgment Day, when your screen pops up, it'll be totally blank except for these words, "Kevin Garner redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." There's unbelievers listening to this sermon right now, sitting right here in this church. Judgment Day is coming. Just as sure as you are sitting here right now before me, you are going to be standing then before Him. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. And the Holy Spirit is telling you right now, you're not, and you know it. You're here today, you want to be sure and you're not sure. You want to make sure beyond any shadow of a doubt that your sin is going to be taken care of, that you won't have anything to be ashamed of on Judgment Day, that's going to be completely erased and gone. Beyond any shadow of a doubt. The best thing that we can do when facing judgment on Judgment Day is settle out of court. You can do that today by accepting Jesus as your Savior. Listen to me. On Judgment Day, it's every man for himself. I won't be able to help you then, but I can help you now. The very nanosecond this service is over, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you pray with somebody, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you know what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day. There's believers listening to this sermon right now, Christians. You are not ready to stand before God either, are you? Because there's unconfessed sin in your life, isn't there? Oh, you got a lot of people fooled. You got a lot of people fooled here at church. You may even have me fooled. But you can't fool God. You're playing church. You're going through the motions. You're saying, "Lord, Lord," but you're not doing what the Lord is telling you to do. You've got this secret thing. And when you're all by yourself, you take it out and you play with it and then you put it away because you don't think anybody's going to know about it. On Judgment Day, that's going to be on your screen. Amen. The most important thing that you need to do in your life is give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ. The second most important thing you can do is rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. The nanosecond this service is over, Christian, you need to get out of your seat. You need to come to the front of this church and give yourself to Jesus Christ all over again. Your friends won't be able to lie and cover it up. Your parents aren't going to be able to make this go away like they do everything else. Today you deal with it. You deal with it now before you have to deal with it then. Right now, Jesus is standing before us. And we are deciding what we're going to do with Him. On Judgment Day, you're going to be standing before Jesus. And He's going to decide what He's going to do with you. And what Jesus does with you then all depends on the decision you make. What you're going to do with Jesus now. Amen. People, listen to me. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ today. Love your family. Live for Jesus. Keep fighting the battle. And hang on. Hold on. Hold on. Because we're almost there. These are the last days. It's 10 seconds to midnight. Let's get right with God and hold on. Because we're almost there. We're almost home.
disappointed? Are you desperate for help? That desire to shell of yourself, and you start to believe you don't have what it takes. It's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race.
Right now and when we're meant to be, and when all has been lost is made whole.